And I trust that you have a copy of that. Anybody that does not have one, and ushers, I don't know if we have some extras or not, but would like to have one. I want you to get your pen out and today and mark just one or two things on the outline there that I've given you. Genesis chapter number 3 this morning. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that. Genesis chapter number 3. And for sake of time, I'm going to jump right into the message this morning. And we've had a good time already, haven't we? Amen. And enjoyed all the singing, the musicians. Thank you so much, everyone that sang in the congregational songs, the choir, every part of it. I've enjoyed that. And the Lord's Supper is always special, isn't it? We remember Christ and Calvary. By the way, Calvary's in your King James Bible. Amen. And it's not anywhere else, by the way. So we'd have to cut out all those Calvary songs out of our hymn book if we lost our King James Bible, wouldn't we? All right, Genesis chapter number 3. Look at verse number 21. Remain seated as I jump right into the message. The Bible said unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Heavenly Father, will you please bless now the preaching of the Word of God. Bless now. Help us to understand this wonderful, remarkable truth. How precious the blood of Christ is. And that Calvary, as was sung a moment ago, indeed covers it all. Help us to see it and understand it. Calvary covers it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Calvin, I want to ask you to help me if you would. I want to illustrate the verse that you have at the top of your handout there. The Bible says over there in the epistle of John, the first epistle of John, the Bible says, and this of course is just a portion of the verse, it says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, don't you get distracted this whole message wondering if I'm going to bang my head on this thing, okay? Go ahead and get that out of your system, because I know some of you already went, and anyway, so, everybody comfortable now? All right, okay, so you can forget about that. But the Scripture says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from most sin, from past sins, from what? From all sin. This little illustration that I have, you've been here as a member for years, you've heard this illustration before, I use it again this morning, to teach you that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for every day, every time, every age, every person ever been born, ever will be born. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to wash away all your sins and redeem you. That's the purchase price, the blood of Jesus Christ. And it cleanseth us from all sin. Amen? Now understand, this is important for you to understand as we preach on the subject. Calvary covers it all. It's important for you to understand that Jesus does not live inside of time and space. God lives outside of time and space. Alright? Now I can't be in this auditorium right here and across the hallway with the primary kids and over across the road with the junior age kids and over there in the nursery with the nursery kids and over 8 miles from here in the Spanish service. I can't be in all those places at one time, but I got good news for you. That's no problem for God. Amen. He's ever present. Amen. He's everywhere he wants to be all at the same time. Amen. And so, when you think of this truth, remember that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before God ever said, let there be light, Jesus Christ, not confined by time and space, had already laid his life down. In the mind of God, the transaction was complete. In fact, all those wonderful doctrines about foreknowledge and predestination, all those things, that just has to do with God knows everything. He's always known everything. And He looked down through time and saw who would exercise His will and trust Christ. And all a lot of good things happened all the way back there in eternity past. That's another sermon I want to preach it to, but I don't have time. We're going to let where Brother Calvin is standing right here represent the beginning of time. If you could imagine for just a moment, we're going to make a timeline all the way across this auditorium. And so the Bible says here in our text we just read that the Lord God made Adam and Eve coats of skin. You see, all the way back in the book of Genesis, God, after Adam and Eve sinned, He said, now listen, Eve, you're going to have a son. And through you, Adam, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's Adam. But hallelujah, by one, Jesus Christ, life came into the world. And so He said, Eve, you're going to have a son. And the serpent that tempted you and deceived you, that old serpent, the devil, is going to bruise his heel. How many of you ever dealt with Achilles' heel? You ever dealt with some pain in your heel? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. That's painful, isn't it? Well, guess what? That's painful, but it's not deadly. Amen? The serpent would bruise the heel of the son that would be born from Adam and Eve in their lineage. But that son would bruise the serpent's head. Now, if your heel gets crushed, you'll need crutches. But if your head gets crushed, you're finished. Amen? And what He was prophesying was the sufficiency of God's own Son and His sacrifice at Calvary. Though He would die on the cross, it would not be the an eternal wound, for He would rise from the dead. But buddy, one day, let me tell you something, old Satan knows it's coming. He's going to get ground in the dust, and it will be a head crusher. Amen. And to be thrown in the pit, in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Well, the Bible says that this blood of this promised Son, pictured by the sacrifice of these animals all the way back in the book of Genesis, the blood was shed. And from the shed blood, the skins were taken and a coat was made for Adam and Eve, representing the righteousness of Christ. But what I want you to see is, now Calvary, within time, within the confines of time, would still be another 4,000 years or so between when God created the heavens and the earth. Let me have Adam come up. Adam, you stand there if you would. Adam, come on up. And we're going to let Cole stand in as Adam. Brother Calvin, hand him the rope there. You take it right where he's standing, Cole. You stand right where Calvin is. And Calvin, you come this way about 3 or 4 feet. And you're both going to have to unravel it to get all the way across the auditorium eventually. Now, that's good right there. So, what I want you to see is that the blood of Jesus Christ, as your little picture there, you got a little picture in front of you, see the blood drops across the top of the page? That represents 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And it reaches all the way back, make that line taut. It reaches all the way back to Adam. Amen? How was Adam saved? Adam was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Amen. It was pictured in those animals that were slain, and they were robed in the skin of those innocent animals, and those innocent animals represented the innocent Son of God who would 4,000 years later hang on an old rugged cross. Amen. Amen. Adam and Eve had a son. His name was Cain. Had another son. His name was Abel. Abel, you come up here as well. Turn the page to Genesis 4 and look at verse number 4. The Bible said, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. He pitched a fit. Why? Because somebody insulted him and said, your religion won't save you. Oh, that fruit of the ground. You worked so hard. You worked so hard to appease God. You worked so hard to make an acceptable sacrifice. You toiled and you worked by the sweat of your brow and you worked hard, and now God's rejected your offering. You were sincere, Cain, and you put forth great effort. And Cain's sacrifice represents false religion, where many sincere, many what we would from a human standpoint call a godly person, a righteous person, a religious person, a Cain's sacrifice that he worked so hard to please God and offer to God, God rejected it. Why? Because it wasn't a blood sacrifice. Good works have never saved anybody. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Ephesians says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't work hard and please God and then God judges you faithful and lets you into heaven. No! We're all condemned and we deserve hell. Jesus died for us because that's what we deserve. But His blood is sufficient to wash away our sins. Abel. Hold your hand up, Abel. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, Adam, it was a blood sacrifice. Abel, it was a blood sacrifice. We get to Abraham. Turn to Genesis 22. Abraham, come on up. We get to Genesis 22. And we find in Genesis 22, Abraham has been commanded by God to take his only begotten son, Isaac, and take him to the top of the mountain and sacrifice him. By the way, he's taking him up that same mountain where this cross would be thousands of years later. Amen. And he said to him in the seventh verse, we read, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. We've got some coal to start the fire and some hot coals, and we've got some wood here to kindle the fire. But where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Listen to the wording of it. Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb. Now wait a minute. Note what he did not say. He did not say God Himself will provide a lamb. This is more, this has prophetic context as well as immediate context. He said God will provide Himself a lamb. What was that? That was a bright red flashing arrow pointing to Calvary. Amen? Pointing to Calvary. God will provide Himself a lamb. And so the red cord of Jesus' blood reached all the way back to Adam and the animals that were slain, and on to Abel when he brought the acceptable sacrifice of the lamb and the precious blood of the lamb. And now on to Abraham. Abraham, the son, pictured the Lamb of God, and you know the story perhaps, but God spared him from having to take the son, the life of his own son, but caught in the thicket was a ram, and they sacrificed the ram, and the blood was shed again, pointing to the Lamb of God, which would one day take away the sins of the world. Turn to Exodus chapter number 12. Moses, come on up here. Exodus chapter number 12. The Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Verse 5. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses. The word strike there means to apply it there. They did that with the hyssop, which was an herb that grew, was plentiful. Later they would do this, they would represent this in a Passover meal. Verse number 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. Verse 13, look at it. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That night the death angel was to come in, the 10th of the awful plagues of Egypt. And the death angel was to visit all the homes in the land, the homes of the Egyptians, the homes of the Israelites. But God made a way. He said, take a lamb, an innocent lamb, a perfect lamb, a male lamb, and take it and shed its blood and make a meal and go in the strength of that lamb. But the blood was shed, and that blood pictured one day that the Lamb of God would come and hang on an old rugged cross. And with the, if the lamb's blood was, if the lamb was a perfect lamb and the blood was shed, and then it was applied to the door, to the posts of the door. It's not just the lamb. It's the lamb slain. And it's not just the lamb slain. It's the lamb slain by the shedding of blood. And it's not just the lamb slain by the shedding of blood. It's the lamb slain by the shedding of blood. And the blood applied to the door of your heart. There's enough blood to save the whole world. But by faith that blood must be applied to the door of your heart. And so the blood is why Adam was saved. It's why Abraham was saved. Abel was saved, why Abraham was saved. It's why Moses and the Israelites were saved. And Brother Calvin, come on over here if you would please. To this side. You may step up forward, just where you'll be in line with the front of the platform there. Perfect, right? Just like that. Up a little closer here. Now we get to this side of Calvary. About 6,000 years of human history have passed, if you take the genealogies that are listed in the Word of God. I know that doesn't jive with so-called science, but the Bible calls it science, falsely so called. Amen. You take your pick. Nothing exploded and became everything, or in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. See, I ain't got enough faith to be a Christian. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I'm sorry. I don't have enough faith to believe it's something. Nothing explodes and becomes everything. And anyway, but that's another message for another day. But nonetheless, all the way back, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Adam, Abel, Abraham, Moses, all those sacrificial lambs. And one day John the Baptist was a cousin to Jesus Christ, was baptizing at the Jordan River, and Jesus came walking up and he said, with the fullness of the Holy Ghost, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And Jesus Christ had now left heaven, the eternal Son of God, had left heaven and come to live His perfect life on earth in lieu of going to Calvary to be God's Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb in the mind of God slain from the foundation of the world is now entered time and space, and He walks on earth as a man, and He's about 33 and a half years old, and He's going to go to a hill called Calvary and be nailed to a cross and shed His blood, and that's God's Lamb. Oh, thank God for the Lamb. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of the Lamb saved Adam. The blood of the Lamb saved Abel. The blood of the Lamb saved Abraham. The blood of the Lamb saved Moses. And those children of Israel put their faith in Him. And guess what? The blood of the Lamb saves me and you too. Come on down a little further here, Brother Calvin, because I'm not that old. Thank you. Right there looks good. This is 1970. Now you got your pen with you, is that right? Get your little piece of paper out. You'll see there where it says DOB, date of birth. You see that? On the little line, you see where the names are on the left side of the cross, to the right of the cross. You'll see a line there. Fill it in. Put your birthday there. Your date of birth. Put your birthday down. July the 4th, 1970. You might want to remember my birthday. You might want to jot it down while you're doing that too. This is the day that I was born. Will Purnell, come on up here, buddy, if you would. Who's next? Who's helping me up here? Will, come on up here. Austin, come here, Austin. Thank you. Will, you and Will, come on up here, sit on the front row, both of you. Jump out, I'll use you guys too. You stand right there where Calvin is. This is July the 14th, 1970. Say that out loud. July the 14th, 1970, the day I was born. Amen. Guess what? The blood, hold it taut, fellas, where everybody can see it. Hold it up this high right here. Everybody can see it. The blood of Jesus Christ, amen, cleanseth us from all sin. Somebody say amen. Right? And the blood reached all the way back. Hey, these folks here, they didn't get saved by keeping the law. No. They got saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Those sacrifices demonstrated their faith in the blood of the Lamb, just like ours demonstrated our faith in the blood of the Lamb. We didn't trust that cracker to save us. You don't need a cracker and get you. You don't receive Christ by eating a cracker. You receive Christ by faith. That's a hellish doctrine meant to bind people to a false religion who dangles you over hell to keep you in check. Baloney! You get saved by putting your trust in Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But it's represented in the elements. You understand that? It's a beautiful picture. Just like their sacrifices pictured the Lamb, our ordinance and the elements here represent the Lamb. Amen? Represent that. This is a beautiful thing to do, but you don't have to do that to get saved. Amen? No. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. No. It's a beautiful picture. But here I am, July the 14th, 1970. I want to make sure you get this sermon. July the 4th, 1970, I was born. 8 years later. It was the spring of 1979. I would turn age 9 that summer. God, the Holy Spirit, convicted my heart. I was sitting right where Miss Lynn is sitting over here on the end of the third row. I had been under conviction. I had prayed a sinner's prayer when I was 6 years old. I had gotten into baptistry because I wanted to go to heaven and I wanted to do the thing that I knew you had to do to go to heaven. I was sincere. But I hadn't understood that I was lost yet to that point in my life. And the Holy Spirit began to tell me, you're lost and going to hell. I lay in bed at night and I'd think about hell and go to sleep and dream about hell and wake up terrified. And I'd say, oh my goodness, I might need to be saved. And God, the Holy Spirit said, you need to be saved. I said, well, I might be. He said, no, you need to be saved. And I said, well, it's possible. He said, you need to be saved. And I kept arguing with him. And to try to settle the matter, I'd say, well, Lord, now if I'm not saved, I'm going to pray it again. Come into my heart and save me. And the Holy Spirit said, you're lost. Well, I might be. You're lost. Yeah, it's possible. I think I'm, but I'm not sure. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. I think I'm. He said, you're lost. I said, you might be right. And if you are right, I'm going to go ahead and pray it again. Lord, come in my heart again. The Holy Spirit said, you're lost. I said, you might be right. Come in my heart again. The problem wasn't my praying coming in my heart. The problem was I wouldn't agree with the Holy Spirit. He was convicting me, and I didn't want to agree with him. I didn't want to admit I was lost. Does that make sense to anybody? You got to understand you're lost before he can save you. How can you trust him to save you from a place you don't even think you're headed? You got to understand you're lost first. Amen. I knew I was, the Holy Spirit was telling me I was lost. And I tried and tried. I said, well, if you pray that prayer, you'll be saved. I prayed that prayer over and over again. And I finally could get no peace. I was still convicted every night thinking about hell. And I finally said, I guess this just don't work for me. And I didn't want to tell anybody. I was embarrassed. I was too proud. I got out of my seat on Wednesday night service. I walked to the front. The pastor, he finished preaching. I had no idea what he prayed about. All I could think about was going to hell. And I came up by Dr. Settle. I said, Pastor, I need to be saved. He said, are you sure? Everybody thought I was. I was such an angel. Anyway, but I was lost. I said, I need to be saved. He said, are you sure? I said, I need to be saved. He said, okay. And my dad was over here, associate pastor at the time. And he took me off out that door in that building, over across the hallway was a cafeteria. Showed me the scriptures, and I trusted, I asked Christ to be my Savior, amen. You know why I got saved? Because I knew I was lost, amen. I had to first admit I was lost. Too many people you say, well, I believe in Jesus. We ask the question, are you 100% sure if you died, you go to heaven? Maybe we ought to ask the question, have you ever been 100% sure if you died, you go to hell? Because you got to know you're going to hell first, amen. Well, you need Him to save you from. If you're not going to hell, what do you need Him to save you from? Car wreck? Huh? What do you need Him to save you from? Hey, high gas prices? What do you need Him to save you from? No, you're a sinner. You're lost. You're going to hell. You need Him to save you from hell. Amen. Well, that requires that you admit you're lost and going to hell. You can't trust Jesus to save you from hell. If you can't swallow your pride and say, I'm headed for hell. Somebody say amen. So, I got a conviction. Will, come here. 1979. Take his place right there. Grab the cord. Amen. Pull that cord taut, fellas. Pull it tight. Pull it tight straight across. There you go. There we go. Amen. Guess what? The night I got saved, the same blood that saved me. Amen. Saved Adam and Eve. That same blood that saved me. Who are you? Abel. Saved Abel. Same blood that saved me, saved Abraham. Same blood that saved me, saved Moses. Same. How many of you were born before 1970? You're saved and you're born before 1970. Same blood saved all you folks over here. Amen. All you folks over here. Now here I am, 1979. I got saved. Now I don't know when this is. What? That's my date of death. Go way over there somewhere. I don't die that soon. Good night. He's going to have me in the grave before Sunday's over. Y'all give him a little slack over there, Cole. Give him some slack. Give him some more rope. I told Brother Cook to get me two smart fellows to help me back in case he couldn't find any. Now, wait a minute. Let's just suppose this right here, Brother Calvin, represents the day of my death. The day of my death. Now, wait a minute. I'm about right here somewhere. Let me ask you a question. When I was born, raise your hand when I was born. Do you know when I got saved? Now, listen to this very carefully. When I got saved, I trusted Jesus to forgive me of all the sins I ever committed. This is so important. This is 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from most sin, past sins, what sins? All sins. The blood that is sufficient for all the sins that I had committed. Will, come up here. Stand right there. Calvin, you're going down. You're the rapture now. One day I'm going to die. That's all right. The rapture's soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Rapture's happening right after I die, folks, so y'all know that. But anyway. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. All these past sins. Now, quite frankly, I knew most of my sins, but some I didn't even know. Remember what David said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Do you remember that? But for sure, in 1979, I didn't know the sins I would commit over the next 80 years, 90 years. Let's make it 92 so I can get all the way to 100. I didn't know over the next 92 years what my sin would be. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Calvary covers it all. Amen. I said Calvary covers it all. Amen. Amen. So somebody says, well, if you trust Jesus as your Savior, you can't just expect to go to heaven. I mean, I mean, you got to make sure you continue to repent and turn from your sin, and you got to hold on to God and be faithful to the end. And that's the only way to know you're saved. No, wait a minute. We don't know we're saved because we're hanging on to God. We're saved because of the blood. Amen. We're saved because of the blood, because the blood of Christ is sufficient to wash away our sins. I'm not saying that we should not ask God to forgive us any more than I would say to my wife, I'll never apologize to you the day of my wedding day if I said, I'll never apologize to you for anything because we're married and we're going to be married till death do us part. So don't expect any apologies from me. You say, what kind of husband would that be? A lousy one, right? And once or twice I have had to apologize. She's had to apologize a lot. But anyway, sorry. Anyway, no, I'm not married because I apologize when I do wrong. You understand that? And I'm not suggesting that when you do wrong, you say, oh, God, forgive me for doing wrong. But what I am saying is this, is that when you put your trust in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, just like Moses and like Abraham looked forward thousands of years, we look back thousands of years and we say what Jesus did is enough to save us and to save the entire world. That's the sins of my past. That's the sins of my future. Someone said, well, how can you trust Jesus to save you from sin you haven't even committed yet? Friend, when He died on the cross, all of my sin were in the future. I wasn't even born yet. If He can't save the sins of the future, then nobody after Calvary is saved. Listen to me, my dear friend. God lives outside of time and space. What I want you to do this morning is rejoice that the precious blood of Jesus covers us from Adam until the last one. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. He represents 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Trumps shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and raised shall call together with Him in the clouds. Meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Point up like that, Brother Calvin. Hey, we're going up at the rapture. Amen. Now, the truth is, the rapture might be over here somewhere. We don't know when that is. When you trust Christ as your Savior, friend, you trust Him not just for the sin you have committed, but you trust Him that He knows every failure you ever made. You say, well, good night. Why don't I just get saved and go do whatever I want to then? I mean, if I believe that, Romans 6 addresses that. Your Father which is in heaven who chastises those He loves. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God said, uh-uh. Well, I'm going to. I tried that with my earthly father. It didn't work. You think it's going to work with my heavenly father? I'm saved now. I'll do whatever I want to. And God said, no, you're not. How many ever said to God, I'm going to do what I want to do? And God said, no, you're not. Amen. Yeah. His blood is sufficient. Salvation is not every time you do wrong. Oh, I got to repent again. Repentance is a Bible doctrine. The word repentance means it is a change of mind that results in a change of direction. Hebrews chapter 12, many passages talk about this truth. I got verse, let me read it to you. He said this, repentance toward God and repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Sweetheart, stand up here for just a moment. Let me illustrate this by getting married. So we're at the altar, and the pastor says, "Will you have this woman to be your wedded wife? You love her, honor, and keep her in sickness and health, and forsaking all others." That's repentance. All the other women in the world, forsaking all others, and here's faith. And keep thee only unto her so long as you both shall live. That's faith. That's repentance for salvation. Amen. He called it in Hebrews. He called it repentance from dead works. Works won't save you. Baptism won't save you. Eating a cracker won't save you. Jesus saves. His precious blood saves. And when He saves, He does a complete job. It's done, done, done. The great transaction's done. I'm my Lord's and He is mine. And so I turn from Buddha. I turn from Mary worship. I turn from idolatry. I turn from trusting in my own goodness, and I put my faith in Jesus Christ, just like on my wedding day, I turned from everyone else. And I said, I'm yours. Thank you, sweetheart. That pictures salvation. And so in 1979, listen, you say, Pastor, you do wrong since you got saved? Mm-hmm. Can I would like to try to help you do this morning? I'd like to try to help some of you. You quit even trying to serve God. You say, how can I be saved? How in the world can I be? I mean, I asked Christ to be, I got born again, I'm saved. I can't do this thing. Listen to me. You could never do it in the first place. How many people hesitate at salvation? And they say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. There's not a single one of us that lives without hypocrisy. God forbid that we pay no mind to hypocrisy. I'm not saying we should not be a concern. But the truth is this, if everybody saw what God saw in our heart, we wouldn't respect any one of us. We're all sinners worthy of an eternal death in hell, but Jesus' blood was shed for us and it covers all of our sins. And so let me say, if you've been born again, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. If you didn't understand that salvation was by the blood alone, I ask people, say, hey, have you ever been saved? Oh, yeah, I do that every day. Brother Jim, stand up. I'll give you this pen. It's a gift from me to you. There you go. I gave him a pen. The Bible said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? The gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life, salvation is a gift, right? Paid for by the blood of Jesus. I give Brother Jim that pen. I go home tomorrow morning. He calls me at 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, hey, Pastor. It's Brother Jim. I said, hey, Brother Jim, how you doing? He said, yeah. He said, you know that pen you gave me at church yesterday? Yes, Jim. Could I have that? I said, yeah, man, I gave it to you yesterday. Thank you so much. He calls me Tuesday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. He says, hey, Pastor, it's Brother Jim. Hey, Jim, how you doing, buddy? I'm doing good. I got a question. What's that, Jim? Yeah, can I have that pen you gave me on Sunday? Can I keep it? Can I have it for keeps? I was like, well, I told you that Sunday. Yeah, it's my gift to you. Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, phone rings. Hey, Pastor, it's Jim. Good morning, Jim. I have a question. Let me guess. Yeah, I wonder if I keep that pen. Jim, yes, you can have the pen. Now, question. His continual asking, does that show his confidence in me or his lack of confidence in me? I'm thinking, well, he don't trust me. What, he thinks I'm like going to come take away what I gave him? It's a lack of confidence, a lack of faith, it's a lack of trust. Asking Jesus to save you over and over again is not evidence that you trust him. It's evidence you don't trust him yet completely. That was me as an 8-year-old kid. I don't know, 10, 12 times. And then finally I said, this ain't working. And you're asking over and over again, ain't working either. Is when you understand, I'm lost, I can't save myself, but the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover all my sin. And when I put my trust in His shed blood, He saves me forever. Bow your heads, please close your eyes.